Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we thank you this morning for your goodness and for your grace. And Lord, we ask you, God, to be with us this morning in the Sunday school hour and also in the morning service. I pray, God, you'd be with anybody that's out. We got some folks with some car trouble this morning. Pray you'd help them. You know where everybody else is and what's going on. I pray you'd help them. Lord, I pray that you would just teach us something out of your word this morning. Get the glory and honor to yourself. And we thank you, God, for everything you teach us in your word. We know that all wisdom comes from you and all revelation comes from you. And we thank you, God, for that. We ask you, God, to just again meet with us this morning. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse, we'll start reading in verse 1 again. And we're going to pick up in verse number 7, 8, and 9 this morning. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel, and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. Now, going back up to verse number 7, be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. And these verses are going to go back to what we covered when we covered verse 1 and 2. Verse 1 and 2 says, let thine heart keep my commandments. In other words, follow the direction of the Lord from the heart rather than just because this rule says I've got to do this. So I'm going. That's kind of a grievous service to the Lord, and your flesh is not going to enjoy that. No, the flesh doesn't enjoy the things of the Lord very much at all anyway. So he says, serve the Lord from your heart. Keep his commandments from the heart. If it's a thing you love to do, learn to love truth, learn to love mercy, you learn to love those things, and then you have a better service, you have a better longevity, you have all those things, and the Lord, you're dealing with the Lord as an issue of the heart, like you would a loved one, like you would a relative. And so he says, as a result of doing that, he says, long life, length of days, long life, and peace shall they add to thee. So it's an action and a consequence. And so that's what it picks up with in verse 7 as well. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Just fear the Lord, recognize who he is, recognize what he's capable of. Fear the Lord, and he says, fear the Lord and depart from evil. Just stop doing the evil deeds. We're going to preach a sermon this morning in the morning service about a woman who is a sinner. And that woman recognized she was a sinner. She recognized the severity of her sins. And she began to serve the Lord. She began to worship the Lord. And so here he says, depart from evil. So there ought to be a time in a Christian life when he just recognizes, hey, I'm doing the wrong thing. I am living the wrong way. And so he says, depart from evil. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. And those two things you're not allowed to disconnect those things. In the modern day way of going about church stuff, people claim that they fear the Lord, but they don't depart from evil. What that is, basically, is a sign of demonism. It's a sign of messing around and fooling with devils. The Bible says the devils fear and tremble. The devils fear the Lord, but they don't depart from evil. I preached to you a message several years ago, and it was called The Devil Can Quote Scripture. And the idea behind the sermon is the devil quotes Scripture, but he doesn't do anything good. The devil quotes Scripture, but he doesn't changed. The devil can quote Scripture, but he don't get the benefit of it. You as a Christian, you can read the Scripture, hide it in your heart. You can get encouragement. You can get warning. You can get all these things, but the devil can't do that. He fears the Lord, but he doesn't depart from evil. His nature is such that he is not going to do good. He's just not going to do good. And so the issue with false religion is that they claim to fear the Lord, but they don't depart from evil. Their life doesn't change. Their life doesn't receive any correction. And that's just, well, I think you understand that is a false profession. If you say, I fear the Lord as a man, and you don't change your ways, it's a false profession. You say, I fear the Lord. But what usually happens about that is people try to change the word. I mean, it's hard to change the spelling, F-E-A-R, but they'll say it just means reverence. And it doesn't. Well, listen, reverence, if you reverence the Lord, that would mean you would honor him, you would follow him. You don't disobey that which you reverence. So it's really not only falsehood, but it's all kinds of falsehood. It's hypocritical. It's everything under the sun. You're saying, well, I reverence God, but that's not true either. Fear, if you feared the Lord and if you reverence the Lord, the results would be somewhat similar. So I don't see why you argue against the three-letter word or the four-letter word fear. I don't see what the argument is against that. It's not a legitimate argument. You fear the Lord and you depart from evil. And the Bible said, if you do those things, it shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. And so I believe the Word of God is true, and I believe the Word of God is right. I believe if you want health, and I believe if you want health, I believe it comes from serving the Lord. That's not to say that serving the Lord won't, that's not to say serving the Lord will keep you from all diseases or keep you from all sicknesses, because we learn in the Bible that the Lord sometimes allows us to be sick or allows us to have a thorn in the flesh, as it says about the Apostle Paul, which I'm not sure I'm in agreement with every theologian who professes to know what that thorn in the flesh is, but we have things in our life that will humble us. The wages of sin is death, so all sickness and all death is related to sin in some way, shape, or form. And we all, no matter how good we are or how good we try to be or how faithful we try to be, there's still going to be problems and issues because we're still living a life in the flesh. But there is something to be said for fearing the Lord and departing from evil. It is a healthier lifestyle. It is a healthful lifestyle. And I know that it goes... much deeper than just safety. If I were to say, never walk on a mountain, then you would never be in... If you followed that advice, you would never fall off of a mountain. See, that's not a spiritual thing. That's a safety thing. Never climb stairs. If I said that and you obeyed it, you would never fall down a flight of stairs. But see, that's just a safety issue. That's not a spiritual issue. I believe that if you serve the Lord and you fear the Lord and you depart from evil, I believe that is a safety issue. You're not going to get drunk at a bar and you know, get in a car accident on the way home. You're not going to do those things. But I believe it is also a spiritual application. It's not just talking about health to your navel, fleshly things. It's talking about, it says, marrow to your bones. There's something affecting, you know, one of the chief characteristics of Christianity is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's no question that in the fall of man, there became a blood issue. People began to die. I don't know what it is. I've never heard any preacher, pastor, doctor, anybody really get that thing. I've heard people speculate about what happened to the blood. Some people say you had water before man fell, and then you... No. When God made you, he made you with blood. Something was corrupted in the blood. You say, well, you got blood, or you had water. A preacher says you had water, and then something changed in the water and you had blood because of man's corruption. Well, Jesus Christ was not corrupt in any way, shape, or form, and he had blood. So I like my argument better than I like the other argument. So that's just, I don't follow that. And I don't profess to know exactly what did happen, but I do know this. The blood is a major issue in your health problems. A lot of times, well, everything that you've got wrong with you, the doctor usually take a blood sample and begin to look and see what's wrong. He can see what's wrong from your blood test because whatever's wrong is in there. It's either affecting your blood or your blood is affecting you. Something's wrong in there. I think a lot of people have a problem with deficiencies in their blood, whatever that might be. And I know that something is wrong with a man's blood. Well, your blood has a lot to do with the marrow in your bones. There's a connection there that I'm sure about that. I'm not a doctor and I don't understand how all that works, but I know that's true. And so I know that this thing is deeper than just a safety issue. Don't walk up a flight of stairs or you'll fall down. But I know it's more than that. I know that God can do something in your body to make you healthier, stronger, more immune. I don't know what all he might do for you. I know the possibilities are limitless, but I know this, if you'll fear God and depart from evil, there are some things that he will do. And then, again, I want to emphasize, because I don't want you to go out here thinking, well, if I do this, it's going to cure all this stuff. I just want you to know that there is health in doing right. I want you to know that, but at the same time, I want you to know that things happen to men. God has purpose for things like that. And so if I was a doctor, if I understood things about the body more, I might could understand more about this. But this I do know. The Bible says, just like it says in John 3:16, you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and he'll give you eternal life. I know, just like those fundamental verses that we all know and believe, this verse is also true. This verse is also inspired. If he says you believe on the Lord and he'll give you eternal life, and if he says you depart from evil and it'll be health to your bones, then I believe that's true. I believe that's true. And then you can, after that, you take into consideration all the things that people do. If you would be honest, we live pretty unhealthy lifestyles anyway. If I put air in your tire for you and you went behind me and let it out and said, oh, I got no air in my tire, and I went back and I inflated it again, you come back behind me and let the air out of the tire and say, oh, look here, I've got a flat tire. Well, if the Lord gives you health and you go behind it and put 5 million grams of fat into your system, then that's the same way, and that's the way we are. If the Lord gives you perfect health and you choose to be a tightrope walker over the New York City skyline, you know things are liable to happen it's a result. One thing is a result of another. So I know the Lord has given me health, and I oftentimes thank the Lord. I've had very few health problems. I've had a few things that are consistent throughout, but for the most part, I've had very good health and very good physical ability and all that stuff. But one thing, I drink about 1,000 Cokes a day, and I'll go 2 days. I'm going to get off a Coke, and I'll go 2 days and all this stuff. See, a lot of that stuff, you know, I'm doing to myself. And I eat a lot of stuff that I probably shouldn't eat. And as I get older, probably should eat less of. But I still feel like I'm 25, so I haven't cut out the diet stuff yet. So, I feel 25 one day every other month. But the rest of the days, I feel something else. But at any rate, what I'm trying to say is the Lord give you health a lot of times, and we're not disciplined. We do other things that contribute to bad health. He's pumping up the tires, and we're letting out the air. Amen. So all that stuff has to come in. I wish the Christian life or even the physical life was as simple as saying, this is the problem and correct this and everything else will be fine. But there's always more than one contributing factor to the problems that we have. I've preached the last 2 weeks on husbands and wives, and wives and husbands, and parents and children. I preached a little bit on that and mentioned some things that could be problems. I mentioned some things that are probably everybody experience, and just trying to get your mind into gear of thinking about one another and considering one another. But when you, if you was going to preach a complete message on marriage, it would take you, well, how long have you been married? And how long have you been having little problems and little spats and stuff? Well, so 20 years, would it take 20 years to cover all the stuff? Of course it would, because there's so many more aspects besides, you know, not putting your socks in the laundry. And I use that illustration a lot, but I'm just trying to get across to you. These are little things that if you consider that, there might be something beyond that that's similar and gets your mind rolling. A lot of times you can figure out things for yourself. And so it is with this idea here about departing from evil and fearing the Lord. It'll be health to your bones. It really will. And we just leave it with that general statement and believe it's true. And then once you begin to serve the Lord and say, well, why am I still unhealthy in this area or that area? Then you might sit down with a piece of paper and a pen and say, well, what could be my problem? It might be lack of exercise. It might be you're not eating correctly. It might be whatever. Too much TV. I don't know. But I think everybody understands that. So we're going to move on from there. Actions and consequences. You're never going to get away from that. Actions and consequences. And I'm reminded to say this because it is a social issue. It's not really a spiritual issue. I guess it could be a spiritual issue. Matter of fact, I'm going to change my mind. It is a spiritual issue. If folks understood this spiritual aspect, then a lot of lies couldn't be told in our country and a lot of problems be caused. And I'll just say this. You do not have a right to be healthy. So when you hear the politicians say, well, everybody's got a right to health care. No, you don't. As far as having a right to health care, somebody is a doctor. They went to school to learn to be a doctor. They have a service. He has a right for you to pay him for his service. That's where the rights are concerned. Now, you have a body. God gave it to you. You got your genes from your mom and dad. They got your mom and dad produced you with each of their genes, and you're going to get from them health or unhealthy. You're going to get some problems, and that's what you got. You cannot change that. You have a right to what you are made of. That's all you see. So you can't make somebody else do it. Thankfully, we live in a country that was founded on love and concern and sharing with one another, that produced some kind of a system where folks who couldn't afford health care could get it. It's never been legal in this country to turn away anybody for health care. You have to, if you go into a hospital with a broken arm, can't pay for it, they have to set it. That's always been the rules. That's always been the regulations. But what I'm concerned with is the idea that people say, I have a right to be healthy. No. You have a God in heaven that made this earth. See, this is not a social matter. It's a spiritual matter. And if you would lose the one concept of having the right to be healthy and looked to the Creator who gives health, then you would have the right aspect. God in heaven created this world. He created man perfect and healthy. Man fell. And as a result, each of us, as we go through our lives, are going to have health problems, some more serious, some less serious, but we all should realize that all of our health, all of our well-being is hanging in the balance. At any moment, it could be snuffed out. If we had a right to it, then if it was a right, it could never be revoked, and therefore death would be unfair. The intensive care unit would be unfair. But see, those things are not. We may see them as unfair, and we can be mad at it all we want to and shake our fist at it, but it's not something that you can change. Except if you find in your Bible a place where it says, fear the Lord and depart from evil, and it'll be health. Say, if you could say, I have poor health, then you could also say, here is a way in the Bible that I can improve my health. Here it is. Remember when we started the book of Proverbs, we said we're going to learn how to be people. That's the point of studying Proverbs, is we're not necessarily learning how to be good Christians, although we will learn that along the way. Here is a book that tells us how to be. It's an operating manual, like that little book in the glove compartment of your car that says do this and do that in your car. This book, the book of Proverbs, and the whole Bible really, but especially the book of Proverbs, is an operating manual for your body. And just like your car says put oil in your car and the motor won't lock up, this book says fear the Lord and depart from evil, and it'll be health to you, to your navel. It'll go all the way down to the marrow of your bones. That's how far it'll reach. And so if you already have a problem, if you already have issues, then you get close to the Lord, and the Bible says that will be an improvement. It may not completely change everything in your life, but it will be an improvement. Just like the lady who went to the doctor and went to the doctor and went to the doctor and went to the doctor, but when she got close to Jesus, things changed. And say, do you believe in miracles? I do believe in miracles. But do I also believe in a God that allows us to go through some things without complete healing? Yes, I believe in that. Paul said, I prayed to God 3 times that I could get rid of the thorn that I have in the flesh. And the Lord said, my grace is sufficient for you. And so the Lord in his majesty, the Lord in his Godhood, his position as our Father, knows what we should be going through and what we shouldn't be going through. We have to trust him with that. And then let me say this as an end, almost like a sermon here this morning on this topic, but I feel like we need it because we live in a time where children are not facing much hardship as they're growing up. They're just sitting in the living room and enjoying all the benefits that their parents are giving them without really learning anything about hard work. There's going to come a time when people are going to go through headaches or elbow aches, and they're not going to be able to deal with it. They'll get hooked on drugs for their elbow's sake or for their big toe's sake, when there are people from past generations and even people right here today who have went through hardship all of their life and bore up under it and trusted God for it, and God's given them grace and God's helped them, and they're going to be a testimony that you can deal with some of these things because God's grace is sufficient for you. And so, like I say, we live in a time where people are taught that they can't deal with anything. You shouldn't have to deal with anything, and you can deal with anything. You can deal with it. You can deal with things. By God's grace, you can do it. And there is a source of help. Fearing the Lord and departing from evil. You say, well, Brother Mike, I do fear the Lord and departing from evil. Well, let me just say, examine that and see if you do. I know many folks who claim to be Christians that are not Christians. I know, like I said before, the devil fears the Lord. The devils fear the Lord and tremble. But that, it's not the same thing. So the book of Corinthians tells us, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Say, Brother Mike, I've tried this and I've tried doing this and this. But I don't seem to get any help. I don't seem to get any improvement. Well, why don't you consider this? This verse is not a doctor's prescription. In other words, if you came to me and said, how can I become more healthy? And I would say, well, the Bible says, fear the Lord and depart from evil. If you were to walk out the back door saying, well, I'm just going to fear the Lord and depart from evil and I'm going to get healthy. No. See, what you just did is you acted like I gave you a prescription, and I didn't. What I said was, if you fear the Lord and depart from evil, then it'll be health to your bones. And what that means is, it'll be health to your navel, the verse says. What that means is, if you fear the Lord and depart from evil, it'll improve your health. See, it's not, we talk about giving to get. I'm going to give God money so God will give back to me. That's not what the verse is saying. Is it true? Yes, but God loveth a cheerful giver. Guess what? God loveth a cheerful fearer. The person that departs from evil, God loves a cheerful person who departs from evil. He wants you to do these things out of your heart. That's why the verse starts out, keep the commandments from your heart. The man that's fearing God and the man that's departing from evil, he's doing that because that is the goal, that is the purpose. That's the man who's going to see the increase in his health, the increase in his vitality. That is what it's talking about. It's not talking about somebody saying, well, I'm sick, so now I'm going to fear God. No, you're not fearing God, you're fearing your health. I hope that's being clear. And I've spent a lot of time on this because I think everybody should know it. I see it in my own life. I get wore down. I get wore out. I get frazzled in my mind. And I think that's, I've had real good physical health all my life, but I've always had this storm going on inside of my head. Depressed about this thing, worried about that thing. All this stuff, and we could go on about that and talk about that. But what I'm trying to say is when I get to the place where I'm like, what is going on? I thought you're supposed to get peace. I thought you're supposed to get joy. Well, that's when I got to go back and say, well, I'm worried more about the things of the world than I am about the things of God. And when I refocus my life on the Lord, that's when the peace comes. That's when the joy comes. And when you stop worrying about all the worldly stuff and start committing yourself to the Lord, that's when the effects of that grace, that's when the power of God's going to move in. That's when the strength's going to come to your physical body. That's when the strength's going to come. And serving the Lord, departing from evil, fearing the Lord, departing from evil, is going to give you a real benefit that you'll see. It'll not be something that you're looking for, or at least that won't be the forefront thing in your mind. This is not a television get well quick program is what I'm trying to say. You see all these programs on TV, it says, well, if you do this, you'll get rich, and if you'll invest in that, you'll get rich. I'm not here to say, well, you just do this thing and you'll start getting healthy. No. What I'm telling you is, go home and get on your knees and say, God, I don't fear you like I ought to. And I know that I should. And I know I haven't departed from evil as I ought to, as I can say myself and as you can say yourself. And really get to focusing on that and really start getting that taken care of. And I would say it'll take you a while to get this morning's message out of your mind as far as the results of it goes. But listen, I'm here to tell you, there is mass, major sickness in the world simply because people don't fear God and depart from evil. I believe some things that affect the whole world could be worse or could be less depending on how people fear the Lord. I believe that. You read from Genesis to Revelation, you'll find plagues and sickness match up with the level of fear of the fear of God in every society. Plagues come when men don't fear God. Natural disasters come. They're going to come anyway, but they come more frequently and more powerfully when people don't fear the Lord. It's just a fact of the matter. And so, like I said, you could talk for hours about this, different scenarios and different situations, and you could go back in history and find where a storm wiped out a whole civilization. And without being there, you can't say, well, it was because of the wrath of God. I mean, you weren't there, you didn't see it, but most likely it is. I mean, Sodom and Gomorrah, right? There's a city over there in Europe someplace, somewhere around the Mediterranean. I don't remember the exact place. Mediterranean, is that right? They dug them up, and they're all under ashes, and they were going about their daily lives in a big volcano erupted and covered them all. Anybody know the name of that place? Pompeii. That's right.
I knew that.
But that's what I'm talking about. And they're frozen in their, like they were going about their daily activities. Some of the bodies that they've found from that, excavating that out. Well, I do believe that stuff is the wrath of God and the judgment of God because of not fearing him. And then at the same time, the weather's set on a circuit. Bad things are going to happen. And so it's hard to judge. It's hard to say. And the biggest thing it's hard to say about stuff like that is who deserves it. Do you think that nobody who ever feared, do you think that in the history of natural disasters, no godly person ever died in it? That would be foolish to think that. The disciples, and the people that were following Jesus. Jesus ran into a person that was sick and blind, and the disciples, and I got all this stuff in my mind right now with the class. I'm pretty sure it could have been anybody, but I'm pretty sure it's the disciples. Disciples said, "Hey, whose fault is it that they're sick? Was it the parents' fault? Was it some sin that they committed?" And the Lord said, "No, this was for the glory of God." And that was the basic paraphrased answer. So, I mean, when you start saying somebody gets sick, "Oh, they don't fear God. They don't." No, that's not what I'm talking about, because it's not true. It could happen to anybody. Anybody can be sick. Anybody can die. Anybody can die in a natural disaster. But what I'm saying is that the lack of the fear of the Lord increases sickness, increases natural disaster. That's why in the worst time that there ever will be, toward the end of the church age, when the apostasy of the world is so great, the Lord describes that time as earthquakes, tornadoes, all this stuff, worse than ever before. All this stuff is wars and rumors of wars. Things are going to get worse and worse, and it's not natural. It's supernatural. It's according to the fear of the Lord. And so my advice to you is health, wealth, weather, all these things. Safety is of the Lord. That's what the Bible says. Safety is of the Lord. And if I go to a doctor, I'm praying on the way to the doctor. I'm not going to sit in my living room and say, "Well, God's going to," because I know I deserve some sickness. I know God can heal me. I'll come just as quickly as anybody else, get anointed with oil, and I'll be praying on the way to the doctor. And when I get to the doctor, I'll be praying not to get some super bug in a hospital or all this stuff. I don't trust the doctors more than I trust the Lord. I trust the Lord first, though, and that's the way that you ought to do it. And fear the Lord. And I told you this, from time to time, I thank the God for the health that I've got, and I think, I'm thinking, "Lord, you've given me good health for most of my life, and I know that that health is hanging by a shoestring. I could have ruined my own life and health just by the sins and the lack of the fear of God in my life. I deserve worse than I've got." And I think all of us could say the same thing. In the morning service, like I said, I'm going to preach about this woman. Almost every theological writing that I've ever read about this woman, they call this woman a harlot. Just the Bible says she's a sinner. And somebody pulls out, "Well, this cultural thing," and they called her a sinner because she was probably a prostitute and all this stuff. No, the Bible said she was a sinner. Listen, I am a sinner. You are a sinner. And there's no, "Well, I'm a sinner, but I deserve good health," and "You're a sinner, and you're going through what you're going through because you're..." No, no, no. We're all sinners. We all deserve much worse. The wages of sin is death, right? So sickness is less than what we deserve. And so when I pray, I try to pray that way. "God, I know I deserve." I see people going through stuff that literally brings tears to my eyes. Why does that person have to go through that? And I'm thanking God because I deserve to go through it. You deserve to go through it. If the wages of sin is death, we are all being dealt with less than what we deserve from the spiritual standpoint. When you're dealing with the flesh, all things happen alike to all men. So it's not a thing, "Oh, Brother John got a cold this week. He must be living like the devil." You cannot do that. You can't do that. Just like the disciples. "Well, this fellow's blind. Somebody was a terrible sinner." Well, you need to stop thinking like that. The cause is something that you probably don't need to spend a whole lot of time on unless it's something new to you. You know, if I get a new... A couple weeks ago, had my left elbow felt like it was going out. Then my right elbow started feeling like it was going out. First thing I'm thinking, "What did I do? What did I do?" I mean, and I don't mean, was it because I was throwing a football? I mean, which sin caused this? That's my thought. You say, "Well, Brother Mike, that's kind of a paranoid way to look at it." No, I would do that if I was you. Because it keeps you It keeps your mind set straight with God. Lord, I'm sorry for whatever I did. I don't quite know what it was yet, but show me and I'll stop it. Well, that's the right way to approach it. And then after that, well, maybe it was playing football. Maybe it was doing this, hitting golf clubs, whatever activity it is that you do, think of those things secondarily. And what it shows is you fear God. And it's not really a glorious and wonderful comparison, but when I walk out the front door of my house, right now I've got 6 German Shepherds in my yard. I have 3 adults and 3 little puppies. And when I come out, they'll be sitting around playing and looking around. But if I say no, they'll head for under the house or they'll get somewhere scared. That's because they're afraid. Be very afraid. And that's just the way they respond to that. Their first response is find a place of safety. When something goes wrong in my life, I find a place of safety first. That's not the doctor. I may go to the doctor, but on the way to the doctor, I'm saying, Lord, help me with this. Lord, watch out for this. Lord, what is this going to accomplish in my life? The worst thing in the world you can do when you're dealing with God, when you're dealing with health, when you're dealing with finances is just hope it'll go away. Because I went through a period of time in my life when I had no responsibilities, wasn't married, young, 21, 22, 23 years old, didn't have a care in the world. Problem come up, I say, well, this will go away in a day or two. And it didn't go away. It just didn't go away. I can remember, and boy, listen, if you ever have a bill that you can't pay, get on the phone and call those guys and say, hey, but you don't have the money to pay it and you don't call and the telephone starts ringing, don't go hide in the next room and say, well, maybe they'll stop calling. They are not going to stop calling. Just go pick up the phone and face the thing head on and say, "This, how can we get this thing worked out?" And that's the way you do that. If the Lord starts calling by an ache or a pain and tries to get your attention on something, Lord, what can I do to get this thing straight? And it may have nothing to do with your sinfulness or lack of sinfulness whatsoever. It might be a thing of nature, but deal with the Lord first. He's the great physician. He knows exactly what it is. He can heal it. He can give you grace to get through it. All these things God can do. The point of the lesson is this. Depend on the Lord. Trust the Lord for your health. Thank God for your health. When you do enter a space of bad health, call on the Lord first. Examine yourself. Is this because I'm doing something wrong? Is it just a natural event? Is it something that I can improve by doing better? And I'll close out this part of the lesson by a great illustration in our time that most people mock at and most people laugh at. But it's the life and ministry of Lester Roloff. Lester Roloff was an evangelist. He lived in Texas, born and raised in Texas, grew up in Texas, Dawson, Texas. I love him. My favorite preacher, without a doubt, is Lester Roloff. But his dad owned a cotton farm in Texas, and they grew up working the farms and stuff like this. And Lester Roloff was so sick as a boy that he couldn't even go outside and play. He couldn't go out and work in the field. None of this stuff helped. And then he got saved. He got born again. And then he started reading the Bible, and he saw in the Bible there is a whole diet plan laid out in the Bible. This is what you eat. It's Old Testament law. You do not have to follow it as a New Testament believer. You can eat anything you want that you can give thanks for. You are not a Jew. You are not under the law. You do not have to follow it. But Lester Roloff scratched his head and said, well, I bet if a man followed God's diet plan, I bet he would be all right. So he started following that diet plan. He didn't eat anything that the Bible says you shouldn't eat. Matter of fact, he went a little bit further than that. But what he done was he based his diet on the Old Testament diet plan. His health improved. He was able to begin work. He was able to go through life normally and naturally. He just didn't eat hamburgers 5 days a week and all these things. And that just goes back to what I said. Number one, sometimes God gives us health, but we destroy it through our own actions. Secondarily, or I should put this really firstly, he feared the Lord and recognized that God has a plan already, and he applied that, and his health improved. And he did it wholeheartedly. He did it willingly. He did all these things. I mean, he was dedicated to the Lord, serving the Lord, and he says, hey, here's a better way. The man was able to go off to school and work all of his days, and a plane crash killed him. And you've heard that as a joke. Run 5 miles a day to get healthy and get hit by a bus or something. Well, this man lived a long life and a full life and a healthy life, but he got his health from the Bible. Got his health from the Bible. Before that, the doctors, we just don't know. Don't know what's wrong with him. And fearing the Lord, following the Lord, and letting the Lord lead his life, he was able to. That might be good for some of you. I don't know. It might be good for thousands of people out there. I don't know. But here's the point I'm trying to make. Ask the Lord first. Lord, what is this? Lord, how can I improve this? How can I help this? This one thing we know. Be not wise in thine own eyes. That's pride. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. What happens after that's between you and the Lord. Each one of us are individuals who deal with the Lord individually. Our life, our length of days, all of those things are between us and the Lord, and the Lord has an individual plan for us. Verse 2, for length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. There have been good Christians who died early that didn't get the opportunity for length of days. So there is no end all be all. You don't know what tomorrow holds is what I'm trying to say. There is no answer to everything. There is a lot of things to factor in. There's a lot of things to consider. But we have a starting point here this morning, don't we, for good health. Trust the Lord, fear the Lord, depart from evil. And if the wages of sin is death, doesn't this make sense? If the wages of sin is death, then the more sinful of a life that we live, doesn't that put us closer to death? And isn't getting closer to death really what we mean when we say unhealthy? So these things are something for us to look at. I preach this message very calmly and very hesitantly because I know that in a moment's time, God could kill me. And I have known preachers to get this concept and get up from the pulpit and say, oh, you people that sick, you ungodly, that is so foolish. And I am not trying to approach this message like this morning. I'm trying to approach it just as even-keeled as I possibly can, just to let you know that this is in the Bible. If it is a desperate need of your heart for health, I know you going to doctors. I know all these things are things that people are put through on a regular basis. The point of the Sunday school lesson, it's right here, right in the lineup for this morning. Go to the Lord first. Examine your life first. Cover all the bases first. And I say first, do it as you're doing the other thing. Examine yourself. And if you could find something in your life that said, boy, I really should have got rid of this a long time ago. While you're going to the doctors, while you're taking treatments at the same time, say, Lord, I should have got rid of this a long time ago. Help me with it. Be merciful to me. That's repentance. When you see, when I said a while ago that this is meant for people who are doing it, not a prescription. Well, when you find yourself in a bad situation like that and you say, oh, God, I'm sorry, that's repentance. That's a different story. You know as well as I do that there are thousands upon thousands of people who are going to TV evangelist meetings just for their health. That's the only reason they're going. That is not going to work. And if you pay attention to this sermon this morning just for your health, that is not going to work. But if you found yourself in an unhealthy situation and you found this verse and you really believed it, probably everybody in the room probably read it before, but just read over it like it was words written in a book that really didn't matter. But here it is.
Fear the Lord and depart from evil, it will add health to you. You could say, oh God, that's repentance. And cry out to Him and ask Him for help. He'd help you, because that's a part of getting right. That is a part of working toward that cheerful heart, not just in giving, but in your fear of the Lord and in your departing from evil. And so this is a great verse. It's a verse that's to be taken seriously. It's not a verse to be lorded over the heads of people. You're sick because you're not right. No, it's not. But it is a great starting point for people to say, hey, I really can. There really is some solutions. And there really is solutions. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. All right, next week, we'll cover 9 and 10. Verse 7 and 8, verse 1 and 2, verse 7 and 8 was actions and consequences, and verse number 9 and 10 is as well. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Actions and consequences. Lord, we do thank you this morning for your goodness and your grace. And Lord, we know that we have folks right here in our congregation who deal with health issues on a regular basis. And Lord, we ask you to help them and comfort them. And Lord, I pray that this message in some way could be not only a help to them, but a hope to them as well. And Lord, I pray that you would deal with each individual, God, as is necessary. And Lord, when you preach a message like this, I understand that there are some sensitive subjects and sensitive topics. And Lord, I just pray, oh God, that you would dispense this message out with the spirit in which it was given. And Lord, that you would encourage each and every one, God, whether healthy or whether there's some issues going on in their bodies, Lord, that the first place and the best place to start in any situation is with the great physician. And Lord, we do thank you for all you've done for us. Lord, every single one of us could be dead and in hell, but by the grace of God, you've saved us by your grace. And Lord, I thank you for that. I thank you, God, for the health that each one of us does enjoy. And Lord, I pray that you would increase that and strengthen that. Lord, there's a movement out there that a social gospel being preached that everybody should be healthy and all this thing. Lord, I pray that you would rebuke that. But Lord, I certainly do pray that those who believe your word and trust in your word and God who follow after the direction of the Bible would find those benefits that are contained in your word truthfully and not just from the scam side of the issue. But Lord, those who follow your word in sincerity, I pray that they would get as much of the benefit from the promises of your word as is possible for a man to get. And I'll thank you and praise you for everything that you do. Lord, forgive my unworthiness to preach such a message, to preach such a thing. But Lord, get glory and honor to yourself by making these things, by magnifying these things as true in the hearts of the believers. We thank you for forgiveness of sins. We thank you, dear God, for the grace that it takes for you to deal with us as men and women. And Lord, we thank you so much for these things. Have your will and way in the rest of the service today, and we'll thank you for everything that you do. In Jesus Christ's name, we ask these things. Amen. Amen. All right, take a little break this morning.